Now, if you didn't know it by now, you don't have to be around here very long to know that we love to eat. Food is important to us. I mean, my favorite TV shows are cooking shows. I like Guy Fieri. Diners, drive-ins, and dives. Even sometimes if I'm real wound up and I need to calm down, I'll even watch Barefoot Contessa.
He does that by himself.
I'll put her on just to unwind. You know, you got Rachel Ray with the EVOO. You got Emerald doing his BAM thing. You got the Pioneer Woman. You got Bobby Flay. You got Iron Chef Morimoto. You got, I'm going to go back for some of you, Justin Wilson. Y'all know who he was?
No.
Nobody knows who Justin Wilson was? Cajun cook? Julia Childs? Okay, there we go. And so food is important. It's an important part of our life, if you didn't notice. We look for any reason we can to eat.
I mean, we eat for fun. We eat with our friends. We eat to fuel our lifestyle.
Yeah, we eat when we're bored. We eat when we're busy. We eat when we're watching a movie. I eat when I'm driving down the road. I probably shouldn't do that one. You'd be surprised how hard it is to keep your hands on the wheel and eat a bowl of cereal.
What? We eat when we're happy, we eat when we're sad, we eat when we're stressed. In other words, we eat no matter what.
We eat to medicate ourselves. We eat to cope with life's hardships. When life gets difficult, we eat.
But most of all, we eat to live. And in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, I want you to look at the scripture. It says, "Your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts."
Yeah, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God."
It also says in Job chapter 23, verse 12, that "I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And in Psalms 119, verse 103, says, "How sweet your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth."
Yeah, Hebrews, we've been talking about during this series, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. The writer of Hebrews declares, "You've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word." The basic things about God's word. He says, "You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what's right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong." And so the writer of Hebrews breaks down for us two separate groups of people. He gives us two categories, and they're very simply mature and immature. He says there are mature believers and there are infants in the faith. And then he gives us two different types of food that those two groups will eat depending on their maturity level. He says there is milk and he says there is meat. And so I've got this gorgeous panel of children to help me today. And I mean, this is Miss Sophia. Isn't she gorgeous? She is so cute. And her mama is Kalisha. And Sophia is how old? 8 months? 10 months old. And she loves her bottle. You see that? She's got a hold of that thing. She's ready to go. "Hey, sissy, what do you think? You see Trip?" She's got her hands wrapped around it. She's doing a good job pulling it up to her mouth. She loves to drink her bottle. And over here on this side, I've got baby Randy. Sophia is 10 months old. Baby Randy is 547 months old. AKA 45 and a half years old.
That's a lot of months.
And he is also drinking a bottle today. That is if Marcia can part his whiskers and get him out of the way to get it into his mouth. Yep, in true
this.
Baby fashion.
Come on.
He's fighting her.
Can I prop it up or do I have to hold it?
Well, you know, this is okay for gorgeous Sophia to drink a bottle, right? Are you smoking a stogie
here,
or are you drinking a bottle? This is not okay. Let's go on. I've got baby Trip right here. Hey, buddy, how old is he? Mama, 1 year old. Hey. And he eats baby food. Mama, what kind of baby food does he like? He likes that one. You want to try to give him some? You want to try a bite? He likes green beans, huh? He don't want to eat.
But I got one who does.
You got one who does?
Yep.
Big baby Randy, he also loves baby food. Why don't we try to give him some? It's okay, Mama. Big baby Randy, what you got there, buddy? Green beans. She's doing the helicopter noise. How's that treat you, partner? Yummy. You know, he actually does not have a diaper on. I'm starting to get nervous. There was a time when we expected him to eat pureed green beans, right? I mean, there was a time in his life when he was just like Trip. But that time has long passed.
Oh, I got to clean him up.
This is just not okay. Let's go on to my next baby today. We've got baby Grayson, and he is a big boy. Hey, buddy, what you got in that can? Can you get that lid off and show us? Hey, he's doing good. Mama, maybe help him and get some of those puffs out. He's found his fingers. He's learning how to use them. His dexterity's going strong. Look at that. Oh, he went right for him. Picked up them star puffs and shoved them right in his mouth. Look how good he's doing. Yes, sir. He doesn't need anybody to feed him. He's doing real good. He's drinking out of a sippy cup. He's graduated from a bottle. You know, he can hold that on his own. Do we have a little snack for Big Randy over here?
I packed him some in a little baggie.
We brought you a baggie of cereal for church, buddy.
I wanted to keep him calm.
Got your sippy cup. Go on and chow down on some of them. This is okay for Grayson, but is this okay for Big Baby Randy? No, everybody say no. And then I have, now don't
he
eat too much.
He likes them a lot.
We got to measure them out. We got to make it through the whole service today and keep him quiet. And then I have Miss Isla. Hey, Isla.
You got to suck.
How are you, girl? Thanks for helping me today. Who's your baby? Who do you have there? Ooh, is that a glowworm? Huh? Yeah, what did you name it? Well, can you tell me what this is? What are you eating? That chicken nuggets? You like chicken nuggets? You don't like chicken nuggets. And some cottage cheese? You ever eat cottage cheese? Yeah, is that yummy? Mm-hmm. And you got some juice here. Can you hold that cup all by yourself? She does good. She does a great job. She can handle her silverware. She can handle her food. Hey, buddy, do you like chicken nuggets too?
He really likes.
How about some
puffs?
Chicken nuggets for my big boy? What other kind of food do you like, Big Baby Randy?
Bananas.
He likes bananas. Anything else?
Bananas.
Okay, you like bananas. Anything else?
Steak.
There it came out. Now, Isla, she's doing a great job. She can hold her own cup. She has an open cup. She's graduated from a sippy cup to an open cup. She can hold her own food. She's doing wonderful, but she still needs mama to watch her. She still needs mama to supervise her. She still needed mama to get the food out and get it ready for her. And then, people are going to have nightmares over this deal. Then there's Big Baby Randy. That's okay. This is not okay. And what I want you to see today, church, is that's exactly what we look like when we've been saved year after year, and we're not growing in God through His Word. We say, feed me, bless me, pay attention to me, listen to me, meet my needs. It's all me, me, me. Do it for me. Do it for me. And we want somebody else to do things for us that by this time we really ought to be doing for ourselves. We still want to be spoon-fed. But growing up spiritually means you can feed yourself. Let me try that again. Growing up spiritually means you can feed yourself. Would you say that with me? Feed yourself. Let's say it again. Feed yourself. One more time. Feed yourself. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's time to feed yourself.
It's time to feed yourself.
Would y'all give all of our help a hand today? Didn't they do a great job? Marsha, you're going to need to help him down.
Maybe.
Moms.
I got green beans down my arm.
I need some ushers if you would help escort these ladies and their children down the platform. Just 1 second, Miss Maria. I want to make sure you get down safe. Thank you guys so much. You did wonderful. You look great. Y'all give Randy a hand for being a good sport today. It wasn't that bad. Well, Tina don't have to cook as much anymore. Pureed green beans. That's what the man wants right there. But I also want to thank John Gleason for making this man-sized high chair. He did a good job. Y'all give him a hand today.
You see, the biggest difference in these kids was the way that they handled their food. How we handle the Word of God is the greatest indicator of our spiritual maturity. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in a Christian life. I had to feed you with milk and not solid food because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove you are controlled by your sinful nature?" That makes you think, doesn't it, how you've been acting?
Yeah.
"Aren't you living like people of the world?"
Yeah, so Paul contrasts there two different groups of people in the church at Corinth. He says there are spiritual and there are carnal. In other words, those who are flesh-ruled. And he equates carnal people, carnal Christians, who are flesh-ruled and still overcome by the flesh, to infants. And he says they're not ready for solid food. In other words, the things that they should have already had under control by this time were still dominating their life. They hadn't grown in their daily diet of God's word. And as a result, it was affecting their attitudes. It was affecting their behaviors. They weren't living what they were learning. They should have been spiritual, but they were still carnal. They should have been on meat, but they were still on milk. In other words, they hadn't got the basics of this walk with Christ down yet. Things like talking to God in prayer. Things like faithfulness in attending church and gathering with other believers in discipleship. Things like generosity or the importance of serving or walking in love or not being easily angered or offended or believing God's word. Things like lordship and obedience or turning from sin or overcoming the flesh or understanding our righteousness, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We're in right standing with Him. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done for us. And so that should translate. People who are, you know, upset when they didn't get their way. These are all the type of things that were markers. This jealousy, this quarreling, this arguing that was going on between believers that identified them as immature. And what we've got to know today is that true depth comes from a daily application of the simple. True depth in your walk with Christ comes from daily applying the simple truths of God's word by simply living what you learn one day at a time, one doctrine at a time, one sermon at a time, one concept at a time.
And as you saw right here this morning, that as a baby grows, they graduate from milk to cereal, then to baby food like the pureed carrots and peas. The more they handle food, the better they become at it. And Josh has become super good at it. It's the same with a believer. We grow as we graduate in understanding and obedience to what we have read and received from the Word of God.
Yes.
When we get one concept down, then we're ready to graduate to the next. The more we handle it, the more we get comfortable with it, the more confidence we get in it, and we become with it. Somebody say, feed yourself.
Feed yourself. Come on, let's say it again. Feed yourself.
Feed yourself.
You know, when we don't eat regularly, it affects the way we act. Actually, Snickers capitalized on this in their commercials, just speaking to human experience by showing how people don't act like themselves when they get hungry. And this affects us no matter how old we are. When we go for extended periods of time and we miss feedings, then we get weak, we get cranky, we get tired, we get aggressive, we get anxious. Am I talking to anybody today? How many of you can say that's true for me? Right? We get depressed. We can have our vision blurred if we go too long, or a loss of balance. Well, I don't know. Maybe other people don't get depressed, but if I miss too much feedings, I'm depressed. We make bad choices, and when we don't feed on God's word every single day, it affects us the same way. It affects our attitudes. It affects our actions, and we don't act like ourselves. When we don't eat regularly, we don't act like the true born-again person on the inside. We go back to acting like hungry spiritual babies. And we're old enough to be spiritual, but yet we act carnal, very simply because we're missing meals. And there are a lot of Christians that fit in that exact same category. They're always cranky, irritable, upset, depressed, anxious. And I wonder, are they missing daily feedings in the Word of God? Somebody say, feed yourself.
Imagine if you only ate once a week. I don't know if you can do that.
I cannot do
that. Imagine, though, that if you did that, you only ate once a week, what kind of person would you be? Yet we try to live from Sunday to Sunday, depending on once a week feedings.
Right.
Now, I hope coming to Victory Church is your best meal of the whole week, but no matter how good one meal may be, it's still not enough to last you an entire week. Just like we eat food every day, we need to feed our spirit daily. Somebody say, feed yourself.
Feed yourself. You know, eating is my responsibility. It's my job. It's not Marcia's job. As an adult, eating is my job. Now, she does a pretty good
job. I'm so glad he just said that. I don't have to cook anymore.
No, I said eating, not cooking.
Oh.
There's a difference. You put it in front of me and I put it in. Eating, though, is my job. Now, I want you to think about this. If week after week went by and I just wasn't eating, I start, you know, wasting away and I'm looking pale and pithy and my cheekbones are protruding and I'm...
Did you say in a week?
No.
Oh.
I said week after week.
Oh.
It would take me a little bit.
I thought he said a week. And I was like, 7 days does that much?
I got some storage I could live on for a little bit. But my eyes are sunken in and dark and I look terrible. She just can't handle it anymore. Finally, one day she comes in. She says, what is your problem? And I look at her and say, you know, nobody's feeding me around here. What is she going to say? For one, it's going to upset her. And she's going to say, feed yourself. Because feeding is my responsibility. Eating is my responsibility.
Absolutely. And this morning, we want to show you how to feed yourself. We're going to be using the word SOAP as an acronym, S-O-A-P, that'll help you maximize your daily devotional time.
So the S in SOAP is for Scripture. Somebody say Scripture. Every day we need to be feeding on God's word. Every day we should be reading a portion of Scripture. We use the renewal fuel here, and I know a lot of you participate in that. So there's three selected readings every day that go in order. It's progressive. It's intentional. And if you're using a different reading plan, that's great. But the important thing is that we're in God's word every day. And so the S in SOAP is for Scripture. And just like you eat every day, we need to read a portion of our Bible every day because it has the spiritual nutrients to make us grow strong in the Lord. And here's what's going to happen. As you're reading that chapter or that passage of Scripture, one verse or maybe a couple verses are going to stand out to you more than the rest. They're going to kind of leap on the inside of your heart and they're going to speak to you. You're going to say, man, that makes sense, or that helps me where I'm at right now. And as you read the Bible, what's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is like taking a highlighter and highlighting that passage to you or that specific verse, and that's called illumination. Ephesians 1:18, Paul prays that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. And so that one verse is going to stand out and it's going to speak to you more than the others. And that's the main point of what God wants to say to you that day. And so when we read understanding that, then what we're doing is we all of a sudden become very attentive and we become very alert. And so now I'm not just reading for fun like you'd read a novel. I'm not just reading leisurely, but I'm reading intentionally and I'm looking and I'm listening full of expectation for what God wants to say. And that way we're listening for God's prophetic word. Somebody say prophetic word. In other words, what is God saying to me through his word today? And that prophetic word is going to build you up, it's going to stir you up, and it's going to cheer you up.
Absolutely. So S is for scripture, O is for observation. Write out word for word what you observed in that special verse that the Holy Spirit highlighted to you. Write down what God is saying to you. Some of you have already checked out when I said write it down.
Yeah.
You might be saying to yourself right now, Marcia, I do not learn that way. Okay, but remember this. We are disciples of Christ.
That's right.
And what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, and there are some universal, time-tested, proven principles that work best when you are trying to learn.
Somebody tell your neighbor, a disciple is a learner. A disciple is a learner. We're lifelong learners. You know, Forbes magazine, which is a magazine about business successes, here's one of the things they said. They said journaling is the one thing successful people do daily. And you've got to know today that there's a difference between a journal and a diary. This isn't just your daily ramblings. A journal is where I collect and I write the wisdom that God gives me as I walk the Father's path for my life. It's where I can track my growth. It's where I can look back and see where I was and see how far the Father's brought me between where I was and where I am today.
You see, the Holy Spirit is your divine mentor. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't ask for a better mentor than that, the Holy Spirit. And Josh and I have been blessed to be have some great men and women who speak into our lives. And we sit before those people who are filled with wisdom. We sit there and we listen to them. They've already been to places and done things that we have only dreamed of. We listen to them more than we talk.
Right.
Because we need to hear what they have to say more than they need to hear what we have to say. We honor people when we listen and let them speak.
That's good.
In the same time, in the same way, in our daily devotion time, when we pray, we talk.
Mm-hmm.
But when we read, God talks. And I love what D.L. Moody says. He says, in our prayers, we talk to God. In Bible study, God talks to us. And we had better let God do most of the talking.
I like that. The other thing we do is, and that I personally do, is when I sit down and I meet with somebody, like Marcia's talking about, I take page upon page of notes. Because I value what they have to say. And it shows that we're serious about applying what they share with us. And I'll bring it home and I'll put it into other formats where I can break it down and use it. And some of the things I can apply now, some of the things I have to grow into. But it really helps me to meditate on it and put that into practice. And it shows those people that we value their input and we're not there to waste their time. And so note-taking honors my mentors. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit mentoring you every time you open this book. And what we're showing the Holy Spirit is we value what you have to say to us. And Jesus said over and over and over, be careful how you listen, because those who listen and hear it and put it into practice will receive more. But those who just hear it and it bounces off, even what they do know will be taken away from them. So we're setting ourselves up to receive more from God. Another thing I did was in college, we would take notes. It was critical in class that you take notes. Really, college is all about just showing up to take notes so that you can do the rest of the work later. But one of the things we did was in certain classes, you would take tests in groups. And so you would study in groups, and you wanted to be in a group where the best note taker was in that group, because the grades you make are determined by the type of notes you take. And so when the test time came, you could go back to your notes and you would know exactly where to find the answers. And I would begin, as I would look back through those notes that I took while listening in class, I'd begin to remember what the instructor or professor had told me. Now, this is a universal principle that works to help you make good grades. Jesus said the exact same thing in John chapter 14, verse 26. He said, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, who's our helper? Who's our helper? How many of you need some help? Our helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you. He will teach you all things. How many things? All things. And In addition to teaching you, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you, that Jesus said to you. Well, Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so when I spend time reading God's Word, I am listening to the words of Christ in my life. I am listening and depositing on the inside of me what Jesus has to say.
Absolutely. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of what Jesus has already told you. But if you haven't heard it, the Holy Spirit can't remind you.
Right.
Think about that. If you haven't heard it, he can't remind you. He can't pull out what you haven't put in. Good news, though. Good news. Life is an open book test. You've already got the answers. It doesn't matter what you face in your life. Right here is the answer, and you have complete access to the Word of God, to Jesus himself, and the whole entire kingdom of heaven. Amen. That's good news.
Amen. If you're thankful it's an open book test, would you just give Jesus some praise today? The A in soap is application. Somebody say application. This is the huge step. This is so important. This is the one I love. Application is how you're going to apply what he just said to you. How does this verse apply to your life? What does it mean for you? How can you take what he told you and begin practicing it? Because without this step, all we're doing is gathering information. And the Bible warns us of information without application. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege in ministry, Timothy, much about what living in the days we live in would look like, living in the last days. And one of the fascinating things I think that he said in 2 Timothy 3:7 was, he said, there would be people that are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. In other words, they're hearing something new constantly. They're looking for something new constantly, but they're not even applying what they're receiving in their spiritual walk.
And people who are all talk and have no walk are religious. Religious people collect knowledge, but they never, ever apply it. That knowledge of the Bible becomes a badge of pride. Look at me. Look how much I know. Right. But 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, it warns us of this when it says, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. The Pharisees knew the word from front to back. I mean, they knew it, but they knew it better than anyone else. But they missed the whole entire point. They loved to teach it, but they refused to live it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2, that the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. Can you believe he said that?
Yeah.
They are the official interpreters, but don't follow their example, for they don't practice what they teach. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 37, my word has no place in you. Mm-hmm. We have to get to the place where God's word is in our lives, where his word is in our hearts, where his word is in our minds, when his word is in our schedules. Application is what makes it more than just words.
Yes.
It unlocks the power and it unleashes divine possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know you cannot talk your way into heaven, but you sure can walk your way into heaven?
Right.
In James chapter 1, verse 23, it says this, for if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. How many want to be blessed by God?
Absolutely.
Application is what seals the word into our heart. It's the difference from being a hearer or a doer.
Mm-hmm.
Application determines whether you are a disciple or deceived, if you are the real deal or religious, if you are a fan or a follower. Application says this. This is how I'm going to live different because of what I just read. This is how I close the gap between what I believe and how I live.
Right.
This is how I break free from hypocrisy. In John chapter 13, verse 17, it says, "Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." Not just for knowing them, but for doing them. When we put the word in, it fuels our action. And when we act, there is a release of God's power.
Amen. So we're using the acronym SOAP. Somebody say SOAP. The S is for what? Scripture. The O is for what? Observation. Very good. The A is for application. And finally, the P is for prayer. Somebody say prayer. Okay, so what we do is when you've read your passage of Scripture and the Holy Spirit has highlighted it for you and it stands out to you and you go back and you write down what you observed and then you write down how you're going to apply it to your life, then what you do is you take it and you pray over it and you ask the Father to help you live what you learned today because it took the Holy Spirit to write it and you need the Holy Spirit to read it and then you need the Holy Spirit to live it. And so I never, ever, ever sit down to read my Bible, just like I never sit down to eat without praying over my food. I pray over my spiritual food. And I say, Father, today I pray that you give me understanding and wisdom and revelation and insight and knowledge beyond my years and age from you and not men. Protect me from error. Lead me into the truth. I pray that my mind be renewed, my spirit be fed, my faith be increased. And so I pray over that. And so that's what we're doing. We're saying on that particular application point, Father, help me to live what you've showed me today. And then thank him that he's speaking into your heart today. God's not deaf and God's not dumb and God's not dead. He's alive and he's speaking into his people. And so we ought to thank God that he's speaking into us. And I love what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. I'm going to read it from the Message. Paul says, pray for us, and he says, pray that the master's word will simply take off. He says, you need to pray, church, that the master's word will take off and race through the countryside to a groundswell of response. I love that. That's what we want to see. Amen? That's what, amen? 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 That's what we want to see. That's what we are seeing. Look around you this morning. This many people coming to a hayfield in the middle of a crazy snowstorm in the middle of March in Troy, Pennsylvania. What's wrong with you? It's because the word of God is a groundswell and people are responding to it. We're receiving God's word in our life. And if we want to see an undeniable, unstoppable revival that sweeps through our region, that touches our hearts and makes a difference at our dinner tables and makes a difference in our community and makes a difference in the grocery store and makes a difference in your workplace and makes a difference in the post office, then this is what we've got to do. We've got to receive God's word into our life. We got to pray that it would be responded to and run through our region, through us, like a groundswell, and that people would see the word of God come alive inside our life. We are the living word. We have it living on the inside of us. We are living epistles written by the flaming finger of the Holy Spirit on the tablet of your heart, and everybody out there is reading your life. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give Jesus praise. I want to ask the band to join us this morning.
Aren't you thankful that God still speaks?
Amen.
But let's be real. Sometimes our days just get away from us and we get too busy and we miss reading our Bible. If you miss a daily devotion, don't panic. Frustration and discouragement will try to convince you to quit. Well, I've already missed so many. Just forget it. I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
But don't give up. There are days that are so busy that you don't have time for breakfast. You don't have time for lunch. And before you know it, it's nighttime. You got to get the kids in bed. And just the day has ran away. But I don't say, well, since I missed, then I'm going to just quit eating altogether. I did skip breakfast. I did skip lunch. Forget it. I'm just going to quit.
Nope.
Absolutely not. I'm just that more excited about eating supper. Don't give up. If you miss a devotion, don't give up on it. Keep doing it.
I think that's a great point because people start out well and they mean well, but what starts happening is when we miss one, it compounds on us. And we think, well, I got to read that first before I read today's. Don't do that. You're going to read the Bible more than once in your life. Just start with today's reading and keep going. Amen? And we've got to know today that my spiritual health is my responsibility. My spiritual health, let me shock you, is my responsibility. Your spiritual health is not my responsibility. It's your responsibility. And to do that, you've got to feed yourself. Somebody say, my spiritual health is my responsibility. Let's say it again. My spiritual health is my responsibility. Let's say it one more time, loud and proud, like you mean it. My spiritual health is my responsibility. Marcia, there was an article in the medical magazine, and I want you to share with us what that had to say.
Listen to this. It says that the health of the 21st century America will no longer be determined by what people can get doctors to do for them, but rather by what doctors can get people to do for themselves.
Yes, we've got to take care of ourselves. That's the key. Not to wait till we go to the doctor, but to take care of yourself. It's not the doctor's responsibility to keep me healthy. Come on, somebody. Are you smelling what I'm stepping in today? I know it might not be the most exciting. It might not, as John said, it may not be the sexiest message ever. But let me tell you, if there is one keynote, and if this were the last 1 hour to ever preach, it'd be this one right here. This is the one that unlocks revival in your heart and in your house. This is the one right here that's going to make a difference in your life. This is the one, church, because we're growing if you look around. Paul said, you ought to be teaching other people by now, but you still need to be taught. Can I tell you, God needs some teachers. I'm not talking about people who go out there and tell somebody else how to live their life. I'm talking about people who go out there and show other people how to live their life. That's an apprenticeship where we say, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. We can't blame others for our spiritual condition. I take responsibility for my own spiritual health and nourishment and decisions in my future. Only you can keep yourself spiritually strong. Only you can keep yourself spiritually healthy by feeding yourself a steady diet of God's word day in and day out. Nobody else can do it for you. Somebody say, feed yourself. Amen.
I'm going to be honest with you. As Josh and I were working on this sermon this week, and we were writing it out, and I was going over it with Josh, and I was like, this is so stupid. A word soap? Are you kidding me? This looks like too much work. This looks like too much time. I already have enough to do. I don't need to add something to my list. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm not too sure about it.
Yeah, she wasn't real thrilled about it. But how'd you feel after you did it?
And then I did it and I was like, oh my goodness, it didn't take that long. And then once I read and then I saw the scripture stand out to me and I started to write it down, it was so much more powerful and it came to a life on the paper. And I was just like, wow, this is absolutely awesome. I can make time to do this. It doesn't take that long. It's easy to remember that word soap and how to do it. So it really is an awesome thing to do. So before you say, eh, I don't really feel like doing that, just try it one time, because some of you were thinking the exact same thing
you were a skeptic.
That I was thinking this week when we were working on it. So I encourage you to try it. And God has given victory a mandate for maturity.
Amen. Say that again.
The God has given victory a mandate for maturity. The Word of God is why Victory Church is healthy.
Yes.
It's why it's growing. It's
yes.
why it's strong. It's why it's giving birth.
That's
it's
right.
why we are always moving forward. It's why we're always filled with new light and fresh vision. The Word of God works. How many can testify
Amen.
To that?
Yes, it does.
The Word of God works. It is alive. It's powerful. And it will energize your life. It'll make you successful and cause you to prosper. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. You want to be successful. You want to prosper in this life. But it only works for those who receive it and believe it.
Right.
Those who hear it and obey it.
That's true.
The only parts of the Bible we believe are the parts we are willing to act on.
Amen. Would y'all stand with me this morning? And so what you can do is when you sit down and you write this out, SOAP, and you do that daily, maybe you haven't had a devotional life with your spouse. This is such an easy way to begin one. Because then what you do is you can say, well, what'd you get today? And she'll tell you, and you say, well, this is what I got today. And all of a sudden, you begin to see inside the window of each other's souls in a whole new amazing way that you never have before. You can do it with your children. You can do it with some coworkers at work. You can do it with a group of friends maybe that you attend with here, and you want to sit down at coffee in the Hebrews Cafe once a week and say, man, let's share one thing God said to us this week. I promise you, it's going to make a massive difference in your life. And God has put us here to grow up spiritually so that we can reach our world for Jesus. If you thank God for the vision of victory to reach our world for Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, come on, let me hear you give Him praise this morning. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for this word today. Father, seal it in our hearts. I realize that not everybody here today is going to want to do this, but I thank You that there are some. There is a remnant in the room today. And God, through that remnant, You're going to ignite a fire in the name of Jesus for Your word. And we are going to walk in Your power. And Father, we pray that just like You said to the disciples, that we would find it just as You said it. And Father, let us find in Your word what You have said. Let us never be hard of hearing again. But Father, every time we come to You in the secret place of prayer, we ask right now in Jesus' name that You would speak loudly and clearly. Father, we are looking for the Holy Spirit to highlight and illuminate verses into our hearts daily. We are looking for application. We are looking for ways to live Your word. God, we want to be our best. Father, we don't need to be better than anybody else, but God, make us our best for Your glory, Father. You deserve it. Jesus, You gave Your best. We thank You and praise You and give You all the glory that victory is growing, and it's all because of You. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, come on, let's give Him praise one more time. God bless you.